gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Getting my Monday out of the way. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity and newsmaker hotline this morning. Chris Hansen from NBC Dateline, correct?
Yes, from NBC's Dateline.
Governor Jesse Ventura in hour number two, and Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan in hour number three on the newsmaker hotline. We will give her condolences on the Red Wings loss over the weekend. I don't know. I got stuck with Michigan fans, and it was apparently, for people that watch hockey, it was a bad...
Is that a bad thing?
I guess.
Okay.
Yes. Stephanie
Miller. The Lakers won.
Yay! Oh, Maxine Waters will be doing a happy dance. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of big news, of course. Hey, Jim, how's about that election in Iran over the weekend?
Yeah. Huh.
I was suspicious when they put Catherine Harris and Ken Blackwell in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Biden yesterday.
We don't have all the details. It sure looks like the way they're suppressing speech, the way they're suppressing crowds, the way in which people are being treated, that there's some real doubt about that. I don't think we're in a position to say. It was surprising that the assertion was he won by, 60-some percent of the vote. And so I think we have to wait and see.
Yes.
It's like the exit polls weren't in line with the final results. Good thing something like that could happen here.
Something mathematically suspect apparently happened in Iran.
Yeah, but they're all, you know, rioting in the streets over it. Where was the outrage here?
We're like, oh, well,
twice
another stolen election.
Oh, well.
No,
useless war. Pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the mullahs didn't want a new president. Oh, well.
No, mullahs.
Well,
mullahs.
No, yeah. But the
did I say mullah?
You said mullahs, yeah.
But one of them is actually... wanted to do something about it, apparently.
He said,
The Grand Ayatollah is saying, we need to check into this.
Yeah.
So that's good.
All right. The president talking about health care this weekend.
We also have to provide Americans who can't afford health insurance more affordable options.
What a socialist.
That's a economic imperative, but it's also a moral imperative.
Moral imperative. Typical socialist claptrap.
And Caribou Barbie. Well, you know what? You know why I'm personally peeved at her? Because I had to work all weekend because of her. I've been on 7 TV shows just since Friday.
You were a media whore this weekend.
Oh, was I a whore? And I haven't stopped yet. I'll be on the Ed Show today. The Ed Show on MSNBC at 3 o'clock Pacific. Because she will not drink the big cup of STFU about the Letterman thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
And
I would like to see him apologize to young women across the country for contributing to that kind of that thread that is throughout our culture that makes it sound like it's okay to talk about young girls in that way, where it's kind of okay, accepted, and funny to talk about statutory rape. It's not cool. It's not funny.
That's a thread going through popular culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who was Chris? I can't remember now. Who was the right-wing tool I was on with? Oh, I know. The woman from Concerned Women for America.
Oh, she was very concerned.
Because, as you know, I'm the head of Women Who Don't Give a Flying. So that's why I was on as a counterbalance.
Yeah.
But so apparently the original Letterman joke's not funny, but apparently she thought Sarah Palin told a humdinger when she said, I wouldn't want to have Willow around David Letterman. See, that's funny.
That's joking about statutory rape.
Yeah, that he's a child rapist.
It's okay when she does it.
Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't doing that at all. He was talking about the older daughter,
which
everyone knows.
That's what I said. I said no one in their right mind thinks he was making a joke about the 14-year-old.
They were
anyway.
The ones who brought the 14-year-old up.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. She's the one that put her 14-year-old in the... Now the 14-year-old's going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
No, by the way, that's why there was no outcry over the original joke, because nobody thought it was about the 14-year-old. She's the one that's like, oh, it was
about
Willow.
Outrage.
Yeah, exactly. So now the 14-year-old's going through it.
Right. And, Sarah Palin cared so much about statutory rape. Why hasn't she pressed charges against Levi Johnson,
against
who committed statutory rape against her daughter?
She doesn't seem quite as concerned with that whole thing.
He doesn't have a comedy TV show.
Yeah.
So that's the difference right there, you know.
This is just so... I mean, this is even... Just when you thought nothing could be as crass and political as her parading... the unwed teenage pregnant daughter on stage at the Republican convention and then using that as some sort of, you know, family values fable or I don't
whatever.
It goes beyond that. They're trying to paint Letterman as the Limbaugh of the left.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not even close. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Please take on Letterman. Make that your big campaign issue for 2012. Meanwhile, Letterman's numbers go through the roof, and she looks like a bigger and bigger idiot.
So let me get to my hate letter of the day. This is just one.
Oh boy.
Where I don't even remember what shows I've been on since Friday. It was a little frenzy. Oh, I was on
Headline News.
Oh, I was on CNN Headline News on Friday. Then I was on CNBC Friday night, and then Saturday morning I was on regular CNN.
Yes.
And then today I'll be on the Ed Show. All right. So, Alma writes, as a liberal, you should... There's never any salutation.
No. They're rude that way.
Some icebreaker, something.
Yes.
Even a hey whore, something.
Hello.
As a liberal, you should be concerned with how women are treated. And you are letting Letterman get away with jokes like that? Yeah, because I'm in charge of what jokes Letterman tells. Yeah. Uh-huh. You should be ashamed because you are a hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
That's not really spelled correctly.
Okay.
Big box of hips.
It's a hippo that needs to be crate trained, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Not a hypocrite. Perhaps making money is really all you care about. Well,
computer says, yeah.
Except that I don't, but
typical
theoretically.
Liberal. Making money is, oh, wait, that's Republican.
That has nothing to do with this. And using a quote-unquote liberal stand allows you to do that, actually.
Computer says no.
Actually, as the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money has said, if I suddenly decided I was conservative, I'd get 300 more stations tomorrow.
Yep.
So if I wanted to make money, I would decide not to have a liberal slant. Just admit that you are willing to whore yourself.
Well,
that's true, Alma.
I mean, look at all of your appearances this weekend.
Yes, that's patently true. I don't understand how someone like you... even expect any respect.
Oh.
Well, I don't, Alma. I don't expect... That's not what I'm looking for.
You just expect grammar and hate letters.
I don't, because I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hippocrate. All right. Here's Tom with some fun facts. These are some tips for Mama going on the Ed Show today.
Okay.
Some do's and don'ts. Because, you know, I tend to get in a little trouble every now and again.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, I've been booted off MSNBC since, you know, the thing with the...
Whatever.
The Chris Matthews incident, as we call it.
The unpleasantness.
Yes, all the unpleasantness.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, things to remember when you are on Ed's show. Do not ask Ed to get some of Keith's hair or pieces of his clothing so you can have some witch doctor cast a spell, make a magic potion that will make all Olbermann fall in love with you. Yeah, I probably should just bring him up at all.
Yeah.
Just don't shout another host's name out while you're with him. Okay. Do not ask for backlighting, soft focus, a dab of Vaseline on the camera, no high def, a wind machine, a water bra, or if you can wear fishnet hose. Do not say weed, wad, stick, or that Mitch McChinless is as useless as a limp groom on a wedding night. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Oh.
Just a little do's and don'ts for my MSNBC appearance today. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, former President George H.W. Bush defended Judge Sonia Sotomayor Friday.
Wow.
Saying it is not right to call President Obama's Supreme Court nominee a racist. He said that's not right. I mean, that's not fair. It doesn't help the process. You're out there, the name calling. There you are. So let them decide who they want to vote for and get on with it. I don't know her that well, but I think she's had a distinguished record on the bench, and she should be entitled to fair hearings. That's what he thought when he nominated her the first time.
That's right.
Have you seen that skydiving picture? Could he look any goofier in the skydiving picture?
He's a bit goofy.
His birthday?
Yeah.
Okay, we have Bob Bush.
You know, gotta love those little Latin loopy-loos. Fiery hot tamales, a lot of them. Big personalities, big popos, which I love to pat every now and then. A bar? Is that you? Whew, that was a close one. Been with that woman for 60 years and counting. She never knew I was fondling the cilantro.
Huh?
Wouldn't be prudent at my age to let the taco out of the bag. She could snap me like a swizzle stick. Where was I? Oh, yeah. The Latinas are my favorite part of living in the South. Got to know quite a few. They're like part of the family after a while. That's why I'm not going to let anyone bag on Senorita Sotomayor. Not going to happen. That woman is the salt of the earth, just like Estrella, Juanita, Maria, Conchita, and Lucy were back in the day. Loyal, capable, trustworthy. I have a feeling about the senorita, and I trust my feelings. When she gets to work at this Supreme Court, she'll clean that place, polish the woodwork, iron the justices' robes, and vacuum the carpet to fare thee well, just like the maids we had in Dallas. Won't be any half-full Coke cans with mysterious hairs on them in her Supreme Court building. She'll, in the grand tradition of cleaning ladies since the dawn of time, she'll... What? What's that? She's being nominated to be a justice on the Supreme Court. That's a good one. Shouldn't play tricks on an old man. That's just mean. Just so you can say neener, neener, neener. But I repeat, don't call Senorita Sotomayor names. You never know when you'll wake up with cayenne pepper in your shorts. Word to the wise.
I don't think he's grasped
the concept. I don't know what he was replying there. Oh, dear. Didn't he once say something about the little brown one? Oh, dear.
There's some grandkids over there. Little brown ones.
Yep.
I'm sure he meant well.
Okay. All right. Here's what disturbs me about Peggy Noonan these days. She's giving too much good advice to Republicans.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes. Some fine American music, please. Peggy Noonan, how Republicans got cast as the party of angry white males. That's because they pretty much are the party of angry white males now.
They're the party of angry white males and Peggy Noonan.
Yes. She refers to the Gallup poll showing that most Republicans can't come up with a name when asked. Nobody was the number one answer as to who's the leader of the Republican Party. Then it was Rush and Newt and Cheney at like 10% or
whatever.
Pathetic thing. Peggy goes on to say, everything changes. Life is movement. Leaders take time to emerge. Nationally, our parties have produced both stasis and surprise. What's different now, and it really is different, is that assisting and complicating the Republican process is something that didn't exist in 1977, the last time they rose again, she's talking about. Mm. And it was only a national force in 2000. That's the conservative media infrastructure. The Republican Party has never reformed itself while such a thing existed. For the Republicans, not all good news. No, it's not. RNC chair Michael Steele learned this 3 months ago when he said Rush Limbaugh was angry. Mr. Steele was forced to grovel an apology because Rush is more powerful than he is. When Michael Steele gets up in the morning, 20 million people don't wait to hear his opinion. Rush made him look weak. Mm-hmm, that's true. That's not an especially good look when you're trying to rebuild a party.
Right.
Conservatives talking only to conservatives is like liberals talking only to liberals. A certain unreality can be enforced. It can encourage a false sense of momentum and dominance when you have an audience of millions saying, "You got that right, buddy." The Democratic message on the Republicans has gone from the party of no to the party of angry white men. If they get away with it, it will be in part because angry talkers in the conservative media infrastructure too often leave themselves open to the charge.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yes,
that's exactly it. We have, I believe, a film strip on this.
Mm-hmm. In the life of a political party, there are times and circumstances when that party will be defined in the popular mind as one thing only, to the exclusion of everything else. For instance, the Democratic Party is considered to be the mommy party. This is because it is nurturing, likes to mediate between conflicting dynamics in American life, and offers up the government to one... And offers up the government seat to one and all to glom onto. Even in the Who's Your Daddy Clinton years, Democrats are derided as weak, pandering welfare statists who were giving America's hard-earned treasure away to slackers and the undeserving. Now, after 8 years of controlling all three branches of government, the Republicans are being defined in their turn. They're being branded as the party of angry white males. How did this come to pass? Because they've systematically excluded anyone from the party who actually isn't an angry white male. Look at their spokespeople. Rush Limbaugh, Pat Buchanan, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, Bill O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, and Mary Madeline. Every man, jack of them, male and pissed off. As for the one raisin in this particular bowl of rice, Michael Steele, he may not be very angry, he may not be particularly masculine, but he sure is white. So Republicans, after 30 years of excluding, deriding, denigrating, and dismissing everyone in America who isn't splenetic and Caucasian, you've earned your title. We say, enjoy, while the rest of us try to get some business done.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. And
you okay over there, Jim?
I need new lips now.
We need to get that projector fixed.
Let me give you a lip-to-lip massage. Jim, if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Drawl.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which is impossible to spell. So, check out the Tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
T-I-L-E, Tile ad. Okay.
Tile.
All right, Tile.
Tile.
All right, speaking of the Republican Party, Michael Steele says it's no longer a tent. It's something else. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
It's not a brooch.
Or pterodactyl.
No. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know. We all want to change the world.
Ow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on Caribou Barbie's little David Letterman rampage. Hello, Sue.
Hey, happy Monday, you all.
Thank you.
You know, she would have a little more credibility if, as mayor of Wasilla, she didn't charge rape victims for their own rape kits.
Yes, she would have a little more feminist credibility, wouldn't she?
Yeah, it took an order by the governor to overrule her and her police chief because they were charging rape victims.
Yep.
So I have to say her howls sound very thin and not quite believable.
Thank you, Sue, for that addition.
Yes. Of right-wing hypocrites!
That will be in the Obama campaign ad in 2012. Oh, yeah. So concerned with statutory rape. But,
however. All right. Speaking of the Republican Party, these are the fun facts of the RNC's Michael said. They've just abandoned the whole tent analogy altogether.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether
the big
or any other size tent. Steele told an audience that no one knows what the hell it means when the GOP refers to itself as a big tent. Mostly because that is not true. It's a big lie. So they've decided to discard the tent analogy altogether.
It's a big yurt now.
Yes. He offered another analogy. The GOP is a hat.
A hat?
An ass hat.
Yes.
Exactly. No, he said this before, but it bears repeating. Some people wear a hat frontwards, he said. Others cocked to the left, he explained. Some wear it backwards.
No, he didn't.
Because that's how they roll.
Right. That's how they roll.
He said that's how they roll?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said this before, but he was explaining it again.
Oh.
But the strength of the party is in this, the fact that you're willing to put the damn thing on. The problem we've had as a party is too many of our friends, neighbors, colleagues are taking the hat off because we've decided we don't like the way they wear it. The GOP is not about how you wear the hat, but the fact that you want to wear the hat.
Huh?
Oh,
he's
my
an idiot.
God. That is the state of the Republican Party today. All right. That and their lunatic fringe. Wow, where do we start with these three stories? You heard about this one, Jim? Minuteman leader charged for double homicide. Oddly of a Hispanic family.
Oh, boy.
Oh, South Carolina Republican politician says he's sorry for comparing First Lady Michelle Obama to a gorilla.
Yeah.
And the Reverend Wiley Drake praying for Barack Obama's death. That's just a little assortment of the
Heil Hitler, y'all.
Hmm. What the right wing is up to this morning. Great. 28 minutes after the hour, back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey. 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 Eddie, did you know that
Stephanie Miller
is a whore?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris Hansen from NBC's Dateline coming up in about a half an hour, and then an hour from now, Governor Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
Who's been doing a bang-up job talking about torture.
Well, he beats up on both Democrats and Republicans.
Yes, but the bitch-slapping of Sean Hannity was a thing of beauty. It's a thing to behold. Oh, what cash money I would pay to see him waterboard Sean Hannity for charity. Oh, heavens.
Yeah, whatever became of that?
I don't know.
He pretended he never said it.
I should have asked him about that when I saw him last weekend.
Yeah, sure, that tape has been bulk erased by accident.
I did see Man Cow, and I said, good job on the torture. I gave him a big hug and a handshake. I said, good job.
And he was like, who the hell are you?
Oh, he knows who I am.
Wait a minute, didn't you compete against him when you were in Chicago?
Oh, I told you, he once asked me if I wanted a job on his show, and I'm like, I have a show. Remember?
Oh.
Remember he was here a years ago. I'm like, I'm in the studio next. I have a
show. Yeah, thanks.
What's it called? It's
Stephanie Miller.
I have my own.
I had not heard that.
Apparently not. All right. So, I got to tell you, this whole, the rash of like right-wing violence, which is exactly what was in this Homeland Security report, which, Republicans acted all huffy and offended over. We've talked about this with Eric Bollard at Media Matters and others, but this is getting beyond frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just one a week, Jim. It's not just Dr. Tiller and then the... Now I'm forgetting what the last week's was. You know what I'm saying. I know, because now we've been talking about all the other Pittsburgh shooting, the cop killer, the all of these guys that are inflamed by a lot of these right-wing whatever, you know.
Whatever.
Dear God, why am I forgetting what happened last week? It's Monday brain. It'll come to me. Anyway.
I'm hungover, so.
Of course you are.
Uh-huh.
Just this weekend, I don't know if you've seen this, another homicidal right-wing extremist arrested, the leader of the Minutemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, a favorite in the right-wing radio shows and the Fox News and the...
Whatever!
A leader of the Minutemen American Defense Group is in an Arizona jail Saturday following his arrest on suspicion of the murders of Raul Flores, and 29, and Brazania Flores, 8 years old, during a home invasion.
God.
And by home invasion, I mean the Minutemen invaded their home.
Yes.
Three people have been arrested in connection with last month's deadly double homicide that left a 9-year-old and her father dead. One of the people arrested for the homicide is the National Executive Director of the Minutemen, a group known for patrolling the border, et cetera. According to authorities, the three of them broke into the home of the Flores family just after midnight on May 30th. At the time, the mother, father, and daughter were home. The invaders reportedly shot the three members of the family, killing the father and the daughter. The NBC affiliate goes on to say the family's mother survived the attack and even fired back when the assailants returned. Here's the good news these days is these people have websites wherein you can find out various information about them. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, Von Braun, that's who it is. Okay, sorry.
You forgot about
the Holocaust
Braun.
Museum.
The Holocaust Museum.
But I'm talking about his posting on FreeRepublic.com. It's just this nasty, insidious, web of right-wing... The group's website places the group as actively involved in the Tea Parties last couple of months ago, which swept the right-wing media around Tax Day. The group also takes space on its front page to equate the rallying themes which drove the Confederate states to revolt, leading the U.S. Civil War with today's 10th Amendment protesters. So that's that little bunch there. See, I've been saying this for a while, is the problem is the rhetoric coming from the official mainstream Republicans is not that different than the lunatic fringe. That's the difference. I mean, let's face it, there's lunatic left fringe. I'm not saying there isn't. No, none of us wants to be responsible for what everybody, on your side says. But you've got Sarah Palin saying, he's pals around with terrorists, President Obama. So, you've got people screaming treason and terrorist and kill him at a rally. So how is that's the problem?
They've got to triple his Secret Service protection.
And the Minutemen were on a Hannity show every other night on Fox News. Remember back, whenever this last immigration debate was? I mean, these people are legitimized by these right-wing organizations, Anyway, how's about this guy? South Carolina, hear about this guy? Columbia, South Carolina. Former chairman of the South Carolina Election Commission has apologized after posting on Facebook. He suggested a gorilla that escaped from a Columbia zoo was an ancestor of First Lady Michelle Obama.
Oh, my God.
Minutes after the gorilla's escape was reported Friday, Rusty DePass. He's the former chairman of the Richland County Republican Party. He posted, "I'm sure it's just one of Michelle's ancestors, probably harmless." See how that was?
Hilarious.
He said, Are you ready, Jim, for the explanation? Always a little more humorous than the actual. He said it was a joke about statements that Obama has made about evolution.
Just like that cartoon was about.
Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid writing the stimulus bill. I see. See, that was a joke about statements that Obama has previously made, and that's why it's funnier
nice
than
try.
Originally seemed. He did not respond to a phone message Saturday from the Associated Press, because that's when his Klan meeting is.
Plus, it's hard to understand with the hood on.
Wow, and the final one in the stack. This is the crazy right-wing stack today. Could you take your organ out, please? This would be the religious right.
Okay.
Okay. You know, when crazy religious right-wing Scott started calling in, we thought that was funny. But the problem is, like, what's his name, Von Braun, that just killed the guy at the Holocaust Museum? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Jews caused the economic crisis.
Whatever.
Gays and I. The Reverend Wiley Drake of the First Southern Baptist Church in Buena Park not only declared last week that the murder of Dr. Tiller had been the answer to his imprecatory prayers. Am I saying that correctly?
In what?
Imprecatory. I don't know what the kind of prayer that is.
I've never heard that word before in my life.
But that the so-called man of God later announced he made a similar prayer of death for President Barack Obama. He said on the... Alan Combs gets him some of those crazies. This is on Alan Combs' radio show.
Okay.
He said he didn't understand why people were upset with his comments. Which were quoted from a webcast of his own daily radio talk show. Oh, I've missed that. Have you listened to the Reverend Wiley?
Oh, he's good.
Never miss it.
Imprecatory prayer is agreeing with God, and if people don't like that, then they need to talk to God. Drake told Alan Combs, God said it. I didn't. I was just agreeing with God. Oh, the Secret Service will find that delightful, that explanation.
Yeah. I think the Secret Service would like the transcripts of that discussion with God.
Asked if there are others for... Yeah, because God could be in trouble too then.
Oh, yeah.
Presumably. Asked if there are others for whom Drake is praying imprecatory prayer, Drake hesitated before answering that there are several. The usurper that is in the White House is one B. Hussein Obama. Combs said, are you praying for his death? Yes, Drake replied. So you're praying for the death of the President of the United States? Yes. Combs asked if he was concerned that he might be placed on a Secret Service or FBI watch list of some sort for some odd reason. I think it's appropriate to pray to the word of God, he answered. I'm not saying anything. What I'm doing is repeating what God is saying.
Oh, God wants Obama dead.
Yeah, and if that puts me on someone's list, then I'll just have to be on their list. Combs asked one last time, you would like for the President of the United States to die. The Reverend Wiley Drake said, if he does not turn to God and does not turn his life around, I'm asking God to enforce imprecatory prayers that are throughout the scripture that would cause him death. That's correct.
But he is Christian. He has turned his life to God.
It's not important to
Reverend Wiley
Drake.
All right.
Okay, that is our crazy, scary right-wing stat for this morning.
I think some people just need to be in prison, just in a big holding pen, just with no sharp objects around, just for the safety of themselves and others.
Why has the Republican Party gotten painted with this brush of sort of racist, I don't know, bigoted, crazy. I have no idea where that's coming from.
Angry white people.
And of course they would say, it's right and left exactly the same.
Yeah.
All this code pink people. They're willing to, they wanted to kill George W. Bush. No, not really.
Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. This call actually relates directly to that last discussion. When the right wing Republicans use America is a Christian country, it's a code word for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant country and precludes Catholicism, Judaism, Hindu, everybody else, everybody who's a minority, and the people who understand the code are acting upon that code, whether, and Newt Gingrich uses it, the Republican congressmen use it, and Republican talking heads use it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people pointed that out during the campaign, that Sarah Palin was using code words that are well known in racist circles.
And, you know, yeah, that is correct. And they continue to do it. And, you know, as you guys have pointed out so well, you know, the Republicans are not reining in their loonies.
Yep. Well, that's it certainly seems to be the case.
Because they are the loonies.
Yeah, because you can't tell them apart these days. Seriously. You know, Glenn Beck is supposed to be the responsible person with the television show and the radio show, and he's crazier than half of these people.
Yeah, he is.
42 minutes after the hour, were there more protests in Iran overnight as you slept? We'll tell you as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles. On our Republican friends. Hello, Charles.
Yes. Yeah, remember back in September, this guy, after reading Sean Hannity and Michael Savage's books, decided to go out and kill some people at a church in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then, you know, you look at back at Hitler, his number one weapon against the Jews was the radio microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, just day after day, week after week, just preached that hatred over the years, and you saw what happened.
Yeah, well, we certainly are getting into a scary period here, in my opinion. You know, this is exactly what was talked about in the Homeland Security, you know, report.
And the other side of that was the denial by the Germans about what was going on. And you got that denial happening right here.
Mm-hmm. All right, honey. Thank you.
And there's also a thread going around that this one guy who shot at the recruiters, that's part of this Al-Qaeda sleeper cell kind of... I'm wondering if MK Ultra is alive and well, and this guy was just set out to distract from the real problem, which is right-wing extremism,
mm-hmm.
homegrown
mm-hmm.
terrorism.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, O'Reilly is still continuing to insist that he's the one being smeared in the Dr. Tiller murder.
It was beyond belief, but some of those agitating for the release of the pictures are behind the campaign smearing me and others over the murder of late-term abortionist Dr. Tiller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Agitators.
Yeah. O'Reilly.
Outside agitators.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Boy.
O'Reilly.
What Tiller did, on many occasions, was absolutely wrong.
Oh, in your opinion.
For my opinion, the far left has branded me an accomplice to the murder. You make the call.
Not for your opinion, but for your exhorting people to do violence.
Dr. Tiller did was legal, whether you think it's wrong or not. Would you like the actual fun facts? You know our friends at Media Matters are awfully good at that, because you know, Chris, they have actual audio and video and then transcripts of what he's actually
said.
Bill O'Reilly claimed of his previous references to George Tiller as the baby killer. I reported what groups were calling him. I reported accurately. Remember he said that, I'm just saying what other people say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Computer says
no. In fact, O'Reilly himself has repeatedly referred to Tiller as the baby killer.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a few examples. On the May 15th edition of the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly stated that Kathleen Sebelius, then governor of Kansas, quote, is the most pro-abortion governor in the United States based upon Dr. Tiller, the baby killer in her state, and all of that, all right? So there's no doubt. I don't see any some people call him that there.
No, not at all.
On the May 11th edition of the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly said Sebelius is pro-abortion. She wants the babies done for. This is, she supported Tiller, the baby killer out there.
Which is not true.
Yeah. On the April 27th edition of the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly said that Sebelius recently vetoed a bill to place restrictions on late-term abortions in Kansas. The bill was introduced because of the notorious Tiller the baby killer case, where Dr. Tiller destroys fetuses for just about any reason, right up until the birth date, for $5,000. Uh-huh. On the April 3rd edition of the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly said Tiller got acquitted in Kansas. Tiller, the baby killer. That's weird.
I didn't hear some people say.
That's what some people call him.
Yeah.
It's weird that Bill O'Reilly he continues to not understand what Media Matters does, and that is what anybody could do is just post the transcripts of what he said. So he goes on TV and says, I've never called him that. No, I haven't.
The facts have a liberal bias. Don't believe that tape!
On the March 27th edition of the O'Reilly Factor, O'Reilly said, now, we have bad news to report that Tiller, the baby killer out in Kansas, acquitted. Acquitted today of murdering babies. I wasn't in the courtroom. I didn't sit on the jury, but there's got to be a special place in hell for this guy.
He was acquitted because what he was doing was
legal. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Media Matters, once again. You know, half the time you'll watch O'Reilly and you'll think, yeah, I don't really think that seems true. And then sure enough, you go, no, I've heard him like 20, 25 times call him that and not say it's what other people call him. But, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the Iranian elections, President I'm a Dinner Jacket has accused the foreign media of coverage that harms the Iranian people after. See, because there's pictures of the rioting, you see, so that's.
It's kind of chilling that they're beginning to arrest journalists now. I guess four journalists have been arrested. Yeah. And they're shutting down, you know, all kinds of, they're shutting down Twitter. They're shutting down any way that people in the country can, you know, get news out to
Why, that seems democratic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He said a large number of foreign media organized a full-fledged fight against our people.
No.
I guess by...
They were documenting the people...
Inside your country.
Here's a tip for you, by the way. The media tends to take picture of things on fire. When there's lots of things on fire.
Gets your attention.
Yeah, exactly. James in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friend Bill O'Reilly. Hello, James.
Yeah, Stephanie, are you suggesting that because that partial birth abortion is legal, Bill
Pardon
O'Reilly?
Me?
Are you suggesting that because the partial birth is legal, that Bill O'Reilly should shut his mouth to opposition of it? And because he does
no.
speak in
no.
opposition of it, is this guy's fault? Because it's not.
James,
yes.
Late-term abortion obviously is legal. Or Dr. Tiller could not have been performing it legally in Kansas for that
okay.
long.
But we don't want it. So we're speaking
we don't want it?
Who's no, we, Kemosabe?
Well, me and...
James, nobody likes it. In some cases, it is medically necessary, either because of the health of the mother or the child. In any case, it's not really your business.
It is my business.
How is it your business, a woman's private medical decision?
That is a person.
Because he,
okay?
they think it's, they believe it's murder, so they don't think that murder should be legalized.
Let me ask you this. Do you support when a man kills a pregnant woman and gets charged with double murder?
Do I? Well, I don't. I mean, what case are you talking about?
Because
with Lacey Peterson.
Oh, right.
Cases over the years when a man has killed a pregnant woman, and he gets charged for double murder. So if he gets charged for double murder for killing what you call a fetus,
well, that's why that right, but that's why that's a controversial topic. I first of all, I think the guy should rot in jail forever because he killed somebody. You know, but
okay.
that's the whole debate, obviously, we're having.
I believe, and you could say it's for medical reasons or what have you, but we know what goes on out here in the world for real. And most people
I can say it's for medical reasons? I'm not making that up.
People get abortions because their boyfriend left. People get abortions because they ran around on their old man. People get abortions because they just don't feel like using protection. People rarely
right.
get abortions because, and that's good.
Well,
yeah, but they don't usually wait till the third trimester.
Right, but James, that's my point, is people don't normally wait till the third trimester for those reasons.
Okay, so if you wait till the third trimester, it is for that reason.
No, it's for medical reasons. It's to save the life of the mother or
James,
the baby.
That's not the bulk of medical, you know, facts are completely
why,
the opposite of what you're saying.
That's why most abortions are done. First trimester, second, third, or whatever. Most abortions are not done because of a medical reason.
Well, what are your statistics on
that? I'm saying most
that.
Late-term abortions are, is what we're saying. Most people don't wait till the third trimester and go, you know what, I changed my mind.
Then that's fine, but that's not the case of this doctor down there doing all of them. Every single one is not for that reason. And when people get an abortion,
right? But James, that's why Roe v. Wade right now is the law of the land. I understand if you disagree with it, but the law of the land is it's not your business. Why the woman is making that decision?
Well, let me ask you this: when it wasn't the law of the land, you were advocated, I'm sure, because of your age, for it to be the law of the land. So we have told
I
you
beg your
to
pardon?
Shut up.
Was he just calling me old?
Yes.
I don't believe I was.
He was saying you were protesting in the streets in 1971 or whatever.
Oh, please. I was watching The Partridge Family. Like I had any idea
that was your
what
way
that
of
was
protesting.
About.
Yes. Watching The Partridge Family. Well, yeah. I mean, I agree that late-term abortion is different from abortion
Absolutely.
Early on. It's a very difficult decision to make.
Right,
and
but see, it's because of people like Bill O'Reilly that
right.
he just talks with no basis, like no basis in medical fact. Yeah, oh yeah, just for any reason, so they feel
based,
like it.
Based on what?
And again, he knows that how
yeah.
when they
Statistics
are private
are
medical
not
records.
Kept on that. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Marcus in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, just listening to this guy, you know, I mean, I'm kind of dumbfounded. If there's a question of, if there's an issue in a woman's health or anything like that, yes, it should be legal. You know, that's something, as our president said in the campaign, that's not an easy decision for anybody to make. And for somebody to come up and saying, you know, and really just trying to justify the murder of this doctor, which I don't know him. You know?
Right, there is no justification. That's the point.
Yeah.
All right, Chris Hansen from NBC's Dateline coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up at the bottom of this hour. And next hour, Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of news breaking left and right. Just this morning, the supreme leader in Iran has ordered an investigation into the election.
Yeah.
It seems a little like something's gone.
A little hinky.
Yeah, a little hinky, as they say in the election business. Meanwhile, things also heating up in North Korea. The U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the U.N.
The message of this resolution is clear. North Korea's behavior is unacceptable to the international community, and the international community is determined to respond.
No wonder the president is jonesing for a cigarette. Robert Gibbs on Friday.
I would simply tell you I think it's a struggling with a nicotine addiction is something that happens every day.
All right. We will talk about the tobacco bill and health care and much more as the show progresses. Meanwhile, what does the boner think about the health care reform?
That means the police state like we've never seen it. Because it'll be higher taxes. It'll be ensuring that we can go after your wages.
Oh dear.
Who has that kind of health care, that national... Oh, wait, it's Congress. Boner already has nationalized health care. Huh. He just doesn't think anyone else should get it.
Everything he just said pretty much untrue. Okay, meanwhile, if we could have someone that really knows the news... Yes! Jim, who is it?
From NBC's Dateline, it's Chris Hansen.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I understand you have a segment, a special coming up on Vegas, baby, Vegas. And you
Vegas
break
undercover.
And you break the cardinal rule, and that is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well, then, we're not going after people who are having a good time out here for bachelor parties or do a little gambling or a convention. We're going after hardcore criminals. For the last year, we've had hidden cameras behind the scenes in a number of investigations being conducted by the Metropolitan Police Force out here, ranging from a storefront fencing operation where criminals showed up selling everything from stolen cars to counterfeit money to guns. We've been behind the scenes with the pimp investigative team of Vice, looking at this vicious, violent world of pimps controlling women out here. And having a little fun with bait cars and car thieves. And it all comes together for a pretty compelling hour tonight.
It's called Vegas Undercover on Dateline NBC. That's tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, correct, on NBC?
Correct.
Yeah, this sounds like the word gritty was made for this special. You just you think Vegas is all fun. And,
well, I tell you, there's some of the things that we came across. For instance, in this storefront operation, a guy comes in, sells some counterfeit $100 bills. Cops say, hey, hook us up. Show us how to make them. He comes back with an inkjet printer and household chemicals and takes a $5 bill, bleaches it, and turns it into a $100 bill. All this on hidden camera.
Wow.
So then we get to follow this. He gets arrested. And the interesting thing is that virtually all these people who get caught up in these investigations talk to me after their arrest in depth.
Wow.
And some of them at first may lie and say, well, I never did that. I never sold or made counterfeit money. And then, of course, I said, well, can I show you a videotape? And, of course, that's the hidden camera video of them doing exactly that. So the conversation changes a little bit. That
yeah.
Really, really fascinating stuff.
Well, I can't wait. Tonight on Dateline NBC, it's Vegas Undercover. Chris Hansen, thanks for taking time for us. I know you're on a tight schedule this morning. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Chris Hansen on Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
That actually sounds really cool.
It sounds gritty.
He bleached a $10 bill and turned it into a $100
yep.
bill?
I would like to pull someone over and say, pimp investigation team. All right, let's back to the phones. Let's go to Nancy in Wisconsin on Bill O'Reilly. Hey, Nance. Hey, Nance. Nancy.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just wondering if Bill O'Reilly is ready and willing to take in severely disabled infants who have no support if he's so adamant about stopping late-term abortions.
Yeah.
I think he should offer up his home to pregnant women who need support, and then after they have their children and they can't support them or they're not able to, I think that he should be willing to walk the walk and support them and take them in.
He could afford it.
I have a friend with two severely disabled children due to genetic defect, and she says, tell him to walk in my shoes for a week.
Well, you know, Nancy, and I've gotten, you know, we got some heartbreaking letters from women that had late-term abortions, and trust me, it was anything but a easy decision, you know, whether it was their health or the health of the child. I mean, it's just, for Bill O'Reilly to judge that is just, you're right, it's sickening.
Told Joan Walsh that they're having abortions because they want to go to a concert. I saw that segment. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a daughter or not, but what if her health was in danger because of her pregnancy?
Nancy, look, we said these are private medical records. He has no idea what he's talking about. You know, he's just pulling stuff out of his ass, and this is a really delicate subject. I mean, and it's a very painful subject for a lot of people. Let's go to Tim in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. And what's your last comment right there? These are private medical records. No one knows what's going on in these women. Really, what's going on with these women who have these late term abortions? I mean, it's a private matter. We don't need to be poking and prodding into everyone's medical decisions. And with the caller at the bottom of the hour making a comment about men who kill women who are pregnant being a double homicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with them. I agree with people who get charged with double homicide when they do kill a pregnant woman, because chances are she was planning to have that child. She wasn't thinking, you know, in the last, you know, if it's coming closer term that, oh, I'm just going to have a late term abortion because I don't want it. That's not why there's late term abortions. They're for medical reasons, either, like you said, for the woman's health, for the child's health. There's health factors involved in these decisions.
I mean, that's the thing is, I understand people having deep, you know, moral feelings about this, but do you really feel like people like Dr. Tiller just do it for kicks? I mean, do they really think that?
I don't understand why these people think that. They're not getting their jollies off of having late term abortions.
Yep.
They're not using it for
birth control. Yep, hear you, Tim. All right, let's go to Earl in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, oops, I hit the wrong line.
Oh, no. Did you knock somebody off?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Earl. Hi, Earl. Go ahead.
Yeah, the lady you called earlier, it sort of tabbed in on what I was thinking. Why don't these people that have all these excuses pro-life, why don't they start an organization that they'll take in all unwanted kids that these women have? And also, why are there so many orphanages full of kids? Why don't they go adopt some of those kids?
Mm-hmm. Yep, hear you. Roberta in Columbus met Dr. Tiller. Hi, Roberta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Roberta.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hey, I accompanied my niece to Dr. Tiller's clinic about 4 years ago and personally met him, went through this with, my niece and her husband and her dad. And I got to tell you, that was the most professionally run clinic. I had no idea what to expect. Dr. Tiller was wonderful. His staff was wonderful. It was a 3-day process. We went through all day counseling. Family members were there. There were other couples there going through the same thing. We were all together and talked about their stories and, you know, why they were there. And everyone that was there because there was something wrong with their baby. Mm-hmm. And in my niece's case, the baby had a missing chromosome. She was told by her local obstetrician that the child would not live for more than a day mm-hmm. if she went full term. So she, you know, chose to go this route.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
Roberta,
let me ask you something, because the other, you know, thing that I think a lot of medical misinformation is being put out by, you know, the likes of Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck, who are saying, oh, there's absolutely no reason these days for late-term abortion because of technology that can tell you earlier if something is wrong.
Oh.
And that's, you know, certainly from what I'm told by a lot of women, that's not necessarily the case.
It isn't. It took weeks to find out all the test results, and she was about 27 or 28 weeks along by the time she found out. And, it's heart-wrenching. It is absolutely heart-wrenching. And the security we had to go through to get in the clinic every day was unbelievable. and, you know, the protesters outside and the horrible pictures. And but once we got in there, it was just absolutely wonderful. They did a fantastic job. They were so compassionate.
Well, you know, Roberta, it seems to me, too, with the state of health care in this country, you know, it, in some cases, it may be women that can't afford, you know, a lot of tests early on. And like you say, they didn't find out until too later. Or, like I said, I'm not sure exactly in your niece's case, they didn't get tests back in time. You know, but again, it all goes to the point that these are private medical decisions that, you know, shouldn't have to be put to Bill O'Reilly to answer whether, you know.
Well, he's just an idiot.
All right.
I think we can agree on that.
I think we've summed that up.
Yes.
All right. Catherine in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Hey. If these women are having late-term abortions, they've also, given that they are probably having extremely high medical expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. James and them, how many women's medical expenses has he personally offered to underwrite to save these babies? Mm-hmm. And how many of these babies has he personally adopted? Mm-hmm. If he hasn't done either of the above, just keep your trap shut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. Let's go to one last one. Vita, in Tucson. Hey, Vita.
Hi there, Stephanie. I was going to bring up this guy is praying to have the president die.
Reverend Wiley Drake,
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics, but there was a couple guys that hired a voodoo lady to have a federal judge cursed to death, and they charged them with attempted murder and convicted them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't ask me. I would assume that the Secret Service has already been in contact.
Yeah.
Reverend. Okay. All right. So the breaking news this morning, obviously, Iran's Supreme Leader Khamenei, am I saying that right, has ordered an investigation into allegations the country's presidential vote was marred by ballot rigging as chaos following Ahmadinejad Jackets declared victory yesterday. He said in a press conference he portrayed his surprise victory in Iran's presidential electorate as a victory for the Iranian people. And over foreign powers, he said, the era of a few countries making decisions for the rest of the world has come to an end. Those who want to hamper the progress of the Iranian nation, the Iranian people, will resist. You know, we've talked about this a lot. The Iranian population, largely very young, 70% or so, they apparently hugely went for his opponent, you know, who's obviously talked about women's rights and disbanding the moral police and...
whatever!
And apparently it was the highest turnout ever. So these results just, they don't, something smells wrong.
Yeah.
Something smells like Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
President Obama on Friday.
We are excited to see what appears to be a robust debate taking place in Iran. And obviously, after the speech that I made in Cairo, we tried to send a clear message that we think there is the possibility of change. You know, ultimately, the election is for the Iranians to decide. Just as has been true in Lebanon, what's can be true in Iran as well is that you're seeing people looking at new possibilities. And whoever ends up winning the election in Iran, the fact that there's been a robust debate hopefully will help advance our ability to engage them in new ways.
All right. What does Joe Biden think about the Iranian election? We'll tell you what he said on Meet the Press yesterday as we continue 20 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up in just a few minutes on the Celebrity Hotline. Joe Biden yesterday on Meet the Press cast doubt on the reelection of Ahmed Dinerjacket in Iran, saying Tehran's actions against dissent suggest the results may not be clear-cut.
We don't have all the details. It sure looks like the way they're suppressing speech, the way they're suppressing crowds, the way in which people are being treated, that there's some real doubt about that. I don't think we're in a position to say. It was surprising that the assertion was he won by, what, 60-some percent of the vote. I think we have to wait and see.
Hmm.
Don't vote in any kind of metal container of any kind.
People didn't want to vote in closed containers. That was probably it because of the swine flu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jim, let's do the math there. Let's see. There was the largest turnout. Wasn't it like an 80-something percent turnout?
Hmm.
70% of the Iranian population is young and mm-hmm. was for his opponent.
Yeah.
And he won 65-35%.
Hmm. Numbers don't add up. It's kind of like Florida in 2000 and Ohio in 2004.
It smells Floridian to me. It absolutely does. Biden pointed specifically to the vote count among Iran cities, which he said account for 70% of the country's balloting, but suggested that urban voters were not expected to turn out heavily for Ahmadinejad. He said the idea that he got to get 68% or whatever of the vote in a circumstance like that seems unlikely, is the word he used. The Obama administration determined to press on, though, with efforts to engage the Iranian government, senior officials said Saturday, despite misgivings about irregularities, as Tom Brokaw would call them. They're election irregularities. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said, "We, like the rest of the world, are waiting and watching to see what the Iranian people decide. We obviously hope the outcome reflects the genuine will and desire of the Iranian people."
I hope the outcome seriously reflects the will of the Iranian people.
I don't know what's going to happen now. See, I'm confused, Ed, because it seems to me, like we've always said, like, he doesn't have the real power anyway. Obviously, the mullahs are the ones, and what originally had been reported is, you know, basically, whoever they want is who wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether this is just going to be a cursory, like, oh, we did an investigation, it's all fine, kind of thing, you know. Ahmadinejad, of course, celebrating a landslide victory. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said, like the rest of the world, we were impressed by the vigorous debate and enthusiasm this election generated, particularly among young Iranians. We continue to monitor the entire situation closely, including reports of irregularities. So Khamenei, he's the, what do you call him, the supreme leader?
The Ayatollah.
Yes, he's the final authority on all matters. He was quoted as praising the conduct of the election originally, right?
Yes.
And deemed the result a divine assessment.
Hmm.
He warned, according to the BBC, that other honorable candidates must refrain from any kind of provocative and distrustful words or deeds. So why do you think he flip-flopped on this? Because there's obviously such an outcry. Maybe he
because there's fire.
That's because because tires are on fire.
Things are burning in Iran.
Yes.
And, there might be another revolution if he didn't say something like this.
Right.
That's what I mean. So it might be like a sham, like a 9/11 investigation.
It could be. It could be.
Brookings Institute said it seems pretty clear at this point the Iranians have decided to rig this blatantly and unashamedly in favor of Ahmadinejad. So back with more on the latest on all that and Governor Jesse Ventura on the Celebrity Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's just fancy talk for sexified.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Senator Debbie Stabenow from the great state of Michigan coming up in just over an hour. Lots of news breaking left and right. If only there was someone that tells it like it is.
It's
what?
The
who is it, Jim?
Author of the book Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, Governor Jesse Ventura.
Love us some Governor Vest. Good morning, Governor Jesse Ventura.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm good. It's so great to talk to you again.
Good. Nice to be on again.
I have to tell you, I enjoyed your segment with Sean Hannity more than is probably more than is probably necessary.
Well, you know, I refuse to do Fox over the satellite. I have to be there in person because I don't trust them at all.
I hear you. Let me now, as a former Navy SEAL who has been waterboarded, how long do you think Sean Hannity would last?
You know, it's not long, because I don't know, did you see the thing that Mancow did out of Chicago?
Yep.
And he lasted 6 seconds, because, you know, the real dastardly thing about waterboarding is the fact that the water goes up your nose and immediately floods your sinuses.
Right, right.
Which if anyone's ever did that, knows that that's unbearable, that it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for speaking out about that, because it must kind of annoy you, the likes of Sean Hannity and people like that have never served, that seem to think that it's just fine, and
well,
it's not torture.
It annoys me greatly, and what annoys me more is the fact that I'm shameful of my country now, because we've now tortured people. And how do people justify we invaded Iraq, and then we torture Iraqis, the country we invade?
Yep. And you spoke out loudly about that, about the invasion of Iraq.
Well, to me, it started, and I've even spoken out. To me, George Bush is the worst president in my lifetime.
Yep. Well, you know, Jesse, I think that, you know, I like it because you tell it like it is. I'm sick of this. Oh, everybody, the intelligence was wrong. They got it wrong. Everybody had the same intelligence we did. You know, you say it in the book. He lied. He lied us into war.
Not only that, but I spend half the winter in Mexico now, and I do a great deal of reading. And this last winter, I read on Guantanamo, and I read on a great deal. And we based the entire Iraq war, the invasion of it, on this guy Curveball, who was an Iraqi defector in Germany. Did you know that our intelligence people never even ever interviewed him?
I know.
Never had one day in a room and to talk with this guy.
Yep.
And this is the guy we based our entire invasion. This is the guy Colin Powell went in front of the UN
and used his information,
which was totally bogus.
Right, and Governor, worse than that.
How do we not even talk to the guy and then go to war? Yep. See, to me, the war was pre-planned. We were going no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And Governor, I mean, it seems to me worse than that. I think it was the French, wasn't it, that told us he's an unreliable drunk.
The Germans were holding him. Mm-hmm. The Germans gave him no credibility. They had him for, you know, and still do today. But they had already written him off as, you know, just simply saying what he thought we wanted to hear, because it's weird how they do it. When someone defects from there, the more information that they supposedly have, the better lifestyle they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to make things up to get a better lifestyle.
Governor, what is your take on Dick Cheney recently? Leon Panetta, the CIA head, just said that Cheney seems like he's almost wishing the U.S. will be attacked to make his point.
Dick Cheney is the type of person that he will do anything to push his agenda and what he believes in, and I have no respect for the man. I mean, he had 5 deferments out of the military during Vietnam. I still question, how does one become the Secretary of Defense having never served in the military? I mean, this is the top liaison between civilian and military. Shouldn't you have at least served so that you don't have to be career military, but you should have at least served so that you understand what it's like to be in the military, and then you certainly understand civilian.
Mm-hmm.
How do people like Dick Cheney, that shows the fraudulence of our system, that we allow people like him to get into positions of power who, he talked about the latest thing is his tremendous experience in Washington, and I really jumped on that. I said, yes, in Washington.
Yep, exactly. That's
because
what
he's never been anywhere else but in Washington, mm-hmm. inside the Beltway.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this guy, are we setting store and policy and making decisions? He decides what torture is?
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Governor Ventura, you write something very prescient in your book, what with the murder of Dr. Tiller and then this shooting at the Holocaust Museum. You write in the book, the Christian right wing in America is a polarizing force when it comes to gay rights, abortion, and patriotism. To me, these aren't issues. They're matters of individual free choice. And, you know, we have exactly what was in the Homeland Security report now, don't we? We have a lot of these far-right fringe lunatics that are becoming violent.
Yeah, but notice if anyone says anything about it, they get immediately attacked by all the talking heads on TV.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I think that, you know, to me, if you look at things, religion is the root of the problem.
Yep, yep.
People start start killing each other over how they've worshiped God or that somebody does it different than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to start reevaluating our position. Remember the trouble I got into when I did the Playboy interview when I took office and I said organized religion was a crutch for weak-minded people?
Mm-hmm.
I think I sound like a prophet today.
Yes, you do.
Well, it's the way people are using religion. We just talked about there's a reverend earlier that on a Alan Combs radio show, he said he's praying for President Obama's death. And he thinks that's okay.
Well, you know, to me, I just find it laughable that we allow religion to seep. I'm so proud that I was the only governor out of all 50 states that refused to declare National Prayer Day?
I did not.
And I took a lot of grief over that. The media attacked me and they said, well, how can you not do that? And I said, simple. I said, why does one need the government to tell them to pray?
Yeah. Exactly.
The government has no business telling you to pray. Pray all you want. And then on the flip side, if you're going to declare National Prayer Day, don't you have to declare National No Prayer Day?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who wants to get involved in all that nonsense? Just keep it out to begin with.
Exactly. Governor Ventura, speaking of politics in Minnesota, I got to get your take on the Al Franken, Norm Coleman race.
Well,
is this going to be over in our lifetime?
It will, but it's the system. You know, people are so quick to say, well, it's all screwed up. No, it isn't necessarily. The race was so close that by law it required a recount. Now they went through the process of the recount, and by law you can go to court over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't necessarily say Coleman is doing the right thing, but he's doing what the system allows.
Yep, I see.
And therefore you can't criticize it without changing the system.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I have to do this one for Jim Ward. You recount in your book what Fidel Castro said to you about who killed John F. Kennedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, it was interesting because I had 20 minutes left with Fidel Castro, and at the time he was very perceptive because I happened to just glance at my watch, and he looked at me and said, I'm sorry, am I keeping you from something? And I said, no. I said, but I realize I only have an hour, and I'm down to 20 minutes, and I wanted to ask you a personal question. And he said, ask me anything you'd like. So I went into detail of my study of the Kennedy assassination. And Castro, I couldn't shut him up for 20 minutes on it. First of all, he said it was an inside job. Second, he said that Oswald could not make the shots. And third, he said that the Russians did not want Kennedy dead. And he said, I am not. Do I look like suicidal? He said, if I would have killed Kennedy, Cuba would have been wiped off the earth. He said, I love my country too much to do that.
Interesting. And the thing I love is that you have insider information on wrestling. You're not going to say that it's fake, are you?
On what?
On wrestling. You have insider information on the WWE in your book.
Oh, yeah. No, I just despise the word fake, and I'll give you an example. Okay. I call it ballet with violence.
It's more real than politics.
No, these are tremendous athletes.
Yeah.
People don't realize the athleticism that takes place and how hard these guys work to perform. Let me put it to you this way. Ric Flair, who just retired, he took at least three backdrops a match. That's where they throw you in the rope, you go on their shoulders, they catapult you through the air, you flip over from about 6 or 7 feet, and you land flat on your back on the mat.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, he did this three times minimum, and that's light.
Yeah.
Flair did more than that. That's a very light estimation. He wrestled 300 times a year. That means he took 900 backdrops a year. Ric Flair wrestled for 30 years.
Wow.
That means he took 27,000
backdrops
alone. So I get irritated when people say the word fake because I've had my hip replaced now, and any pro wrestler that spent 10 years doing that is going to suffer as they get older because every day that you wrestle, you're in pain in some way, shape, or form. That's what leads to steroid use because the business itself is so hectic and so you have to be on. Did you know at one point I wrestled 63 consecutive nights in a row?
Oh,
my God.
Man.
So when people use the term fake to me, I get offended over that.
Sure,
it's showmanship, but it's athletic. It's ballet. I loved it because I loved theater, and I like being an athlete, and this combined both.
Yep.
Let me ask you a final question before you go.
Sure.
Would Sean Hannity last longer in the wrestling ring with you or being waterboarded by you?
Oh, he'd last much longer in a wrestling ring.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Waterboarding is something, and I don't make a joke of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to joke about it. It is torture, and for people to even Well, Mancall was your shining example.
Yep.
Because he took the same position Hannity took, and he lasted. Well, I was on with him this morning. He apologized to me and said I was absolutely correct.
Yep, I just saw him last weekend, and I thanked him for that. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, Mancall is fully on board now with the whole revolution thing that I'm trying to produce in this country.
Yep. Well, you know what? And we thank you for speaking out about all that. And the name of the book is Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. Governor Jesse Ventura, thank you as always.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. And keep up the good work. And keep talking, and I like to finish every interview by telling all the listeners, remember this, and please take it to heart. Dissension is the greatest form of patriotism. Yes.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Governor
Thank
Jesse.
You.
There he goes.
Yay!
Governor Jesse.
Oh, he's awesome.
Love him. Love him. All right. 44 minutes after the hour. Yeah, we will tell you more about what the CIA head had to say about Dick Cheney this weekend as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie homo loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. I mentioned to Governor Jesse Ventura, love him, by the way.
Yes.
That'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show if you missed it. He just tells it like it is. I love that.
Yep, it'll be in the audio widget section on the left side of the homepage.
He made Sean Hannity giggle and fidget like a little schoolgirl. All right. So I was mentioning that CIA Director Leon Panetta says Dick Cheney's criticism of the Obama administration's approach to terrorism almost suggests he's wishing this country would be attacked again in order to make his point.
Mm-hmm.
Panetta told The New Yorker that Cheney smells some blood in the water on the issue of national security. He said of Cheney's remarks, it's almost a little bit gallows politics. When you read behind it, it's almost as if he's wishing that this country would be attacked again in order to make his point. I think that's dangerous politics.
It's almost like the Project for the New American Century, where they said, gee, if only we had a Pearl Harbor-like catalyzing catastrophic event so we could realize all these plans for world domination. Oh, they got one! Look at that! How lucky was that? Well, Cheney was in charge. And Cheney, of course, is one of the people who crafted the project for the new American century.
And mark my words, they're going to use the Iranian thing to see, the Obama thing, it's backfired, the outreach to the Muslim world. When clearly this election
was
crooked.
Were they voting on Diebold machines, by any chance?
Yeah.
Well, right now the Obama administration is admittedly in a sticky wicket. Because,
because
they're reaching out to Ahmadinejad, but they're also rooting for change over there. So it's a little tough
but
for them.
But they're reaching out to the Iranian people, and they responded.
Yes.
I mean, they...
Yeah,
the Iranian people like Obama.
Exactly. So his main rival. I don't even know if I'll be able.
You're not going to be able to.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to try. Musavi is his Ahmadinejad's main opponent. He appeared at a rally today for the first time he's been seen since the elections. He says were rigged. His claims of fraud have fueled, of course, 3 days of unrest and a lot of things on fire, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
And prompted authorities to launch a probe, which we don't, I'm just saying it could just be something to calm the masses, which is going to be like just a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
He was cheered as he went through Tehran streets as he apparently drove to meet thousands of supporters. Iran's Guardian Council, a body of top clerics and judges, will investigate his claims of ballot rigging, expected to issue findings within 10 days. The supreme leader who gave his blessing to the election assured to him the council's investigation in a meeting yesterday. So and not a good sign. The Iranian regime has shut down text messaging services.
Yeah.
And opposition websites and internet connections are running at sub-dial-up speeds, apparently. The Middle East Forum director said the key factor is that it's Khamenei's wishes, not the voters' wishes, that matter. He said while Obama has reached out to Iran, had Khamenei wished to reciprocate, he would have had Mousavi become the president. So that's the problem, is you just the feeling that he's controlling all this, and it doesn't matter what people vote
for. That's not democracy. If you know, the Ayatollah gets what he wants, no matter what the people vote for.
I think the main thing is, what does Caribou Barbie think about the balance of power in the Middle East? I think that's the important question.
I would have liked to see more passion in the talk that he gave regarding our friends in Israel, our strongest ally, making sure that they know that we are here for them.
Yeah, great. Talking to the Islamic community about what how great Israel is.
Yeah,
that would go over well.
That would be much better.
Gee, if only she were president. Then
she just doesn't get it, does she?
She is terrifying, seriously. You know that she said she's not saying if she's going to run for re-election in for governor, which you know what that means. She's running to become president of the free world. Okay. Wow. Imagine her getting in there, Jim, getting in there, rolling her sleeves up and getting right in there in that
again.
Middle East
that
policy.
There in that Middle East thing. There.
Get up in there and make some policy.
I've never said this before, but if she becomes president, I would seriously think about moving because the thought of her, someone that unqualified and, dare I say, dumb, becoming president just scares the bejesus out of me.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Senator Joe Lieberman, he'll say lots of things that make sense now. Why? Because he is President Obama's bitch, politically. But then he says something completely unhelpful and too late at the same time, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, Joe Lieberman. He said President Obama is off to a very good start and praised his address to the Muslim world while criticizing the administration's call to freeze all Israeli settlements as risky. What? He said he's been very strong, particularly on foreign policy. He's off to a very good start in a very difficult time in our nation's history. He said his speech opened up some minds in the Muslim world, even as he disagreed with the president's assertion that the construction of Israeli settlements on the West Bank is an obstacle to peace.
Oh, I see.
Ah.
Pretty much everyone acknowledges that that's an obstacle to peace.
Yes, he said Obama's speech went too far in opposing Israel's quote-unquote natural growth in housing projects.
Natural growth.
Yeah, it's just natural.
Wow.
Netanyahu is actually considering halting the settlement process.
I'm sure Lieberman will have something bad to say about him.
Lieberman's to the right of Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Netanyahu
scary.
Will not be pro-Israel enough for Joe Lieberman,
wow,
apparently.
God.
Unbelievable.
I think he went too far in criticizing Israel for any reason. I think that probably makes him almost a Nazi in my mind. So,
it's natural growth.
It's natural growth. You know, like cancer.
Oh, heavens. Okay. So North Korea warns of nuclear war.
Yeah.
We got trouble. We got trouble around the globe, kids. South Korea's president ordered his top security officials to deal resolutely and squarely with North Korean warnings of a nuclear war on the eve of his U.S. visit. In Washington, Joe Biden said, God only knows what North Korea wants from the latest showdown. North Korea vows...
Mozegnut!
I think we all know that, and the screaming yellow zonkers.
Screaming yellow zonka!
North Korea vowed Saturday to weaponize all its plutonium and acknowledged a long-suspected uranium enrichment program for the first time.
When are you going to do a problem like Kim? What do you do with a problem like Kim Jong-il? He's got hostages there now. And,
I know. Yeah. Reporters,
If we attack North Korea, they're not that far from Seoul. Pyongyang and Seoul are not that far apart. So they've got
less than 100 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan Rice, a U.S. ambassador.
Based on past experience and the pattern that North Korea has of reckless and dangerous actions, it would not be a surprise if North Korea reacted to this very tough sanctions regime in a fashion that would be further provocation and further destabilizing. In that event, we will continue to do what we committed to do today, which is to implement to the fullest extent what is the strongest, toughest sanctions regime on the books for any country today.
All right. Lots of big doings around the world. We will talk to Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan about all of the goings-on in the world, that tinsel talk, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. In fact, the international hotline is ringing now.
Oh.
And why not? Doug from South Korea. Are you really calling from South Korea?
I really am calling from Busan, South Korea.
Wow. And you had some thoughts on Kim Jong-il and what's going on over there.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening for quite a while on the internet, and I've always wanted to call in, so this is really exciting for me. There are some thoughts here amongst the expat that I know in South Korea, and one thought is that the army is just flexing its muscle because they feel that, you know, they want to make it look like they're strong and they're not weak, and and nobody can take them over and just roll over the country when Kim Jong-il goes.
Real men don't have to keep taking their Taipo Dong out.
Ain't that the truth? Mm-hmm. And another thought is that he's already out of control and the military is running things. And another thought is that the Chinese won't let anything happen because that would interrupt commerce.
Yeah.
So you guys aren't as worried in South Korea.
You know, I have a friend who's in the South Korean army. He's a helicopter pilot. I said, dude, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, nothing.
Same old. All right, Doug.
How are you in Busan?
Oh, God. All right, Doug, thanks for calling. Please encourage everyone in South Korea to get the StephCast, only $4.95 a month, and buy a year in advance.
I sure will.
All right, thank you. And even get some people in North Korea. They will enjoy the Kim Jong-il impression on the show, I'm quite sure.
If they can get a computer.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
And internet access.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of...
Yeah, China's the key to the whole thing.
Lots of news breaking, of course, over the weekend. The disputed election in Iran. When things are on fire, something's gone awry with election irregularities. The North Korean situation. No wonder the president wants to spark up a cigarette, for God's sakes. He talked about the tobacco bill this week.
This bill has obviously been a long time coming. We've known for years, even decades, about the harmful, addictive, and often deadly effects of tobacco products. Each year, Americans pay nearly $100 billion in added health care costs due to smoking.
And will come as a surprise to you, Jim. Apparently, health care reform has failed everywhere, and we have the best system in the world. In the world.
The only thing I'd urge every American to understand is this has been tried. This has failed place it's been tried. You're going
to
have rationing.
Have you been to Denmark?
People are not going to go into the medical field. Our advancements are going to stop. You're not going to be able to choose your doctors in the end, and the government's going to dictate what you can and cannot do. We're going to lose the best healthcare system in the world.
Isn't it working spectacularly
everybody? If
you're rich like Sean Hannity.
Yeah. If you happen to be one of the almost 15 million people without any insurance, it's not working so well.
Or if you're in Congress.
Why must they lie? How many times has the president said, if you like the plan you have, keep the plan you have? Mm-hmm. No one's going to choose a doctor for you or choose... All right.
I think he should go. Hannity should go live in Denmark for a while.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Sarah Palin, because of her, Chris. What? I've had to work all weekend. I've had a media whore myself out. I've been on every television show in the world in the last 3 days because she will not.
And if you want to see any of that video, it's up at StephanieMiller.com.
Where have I been? CNN Headline News and CNBC on Friday, CNN Saturday. I'm on The Ed Show today on MSNBC.
Yes, finally, on The Ed Show.
Sarah Palin on the Letterman thing. She just will not give it up.
The comment that was made about statutory rape of my 14-year-old daughter, Will, knowing that crossed the line, and then others chiming in on other comments that Letterman has made. I think a sad commentary on where we are as a culture, as a society, to chuckle and laugh through comments such as he had made the other night, I think is quite unfortunate.
But he didn't make those comments, you twit.
Yeah, that's the point. She knows that full well.
She does. Greta Van Susteren is coaching her along every step of the way in this.
If you know anything about David Letterman, he makes jokes almost every night about statutory rape. Yeah.
And, you know,
no one in their right mind thinks David Letterman was talking about the 14-year-old. Clearly, the only way it makes sense is the one that they paraded out, the 18-year-old that got pregnant out of wedlock.
Yep.
And the writers didn't do enough research on who was actually at the
ball. Yes, and I said that on TV. I said I do fault his producers for not knowing that it was not that daughter. But clearly, he apologized and he wasn't talking about that daughter. But, they're clearly making political hay out of this. And
Stephanie, it's always the producer's fault.
Hello.
Damn producers.
Thank you. Why, thank you, Chris, for admitting that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like my friend Travis said, you know, if Sarah Palin was so concerned about statutory rape, why hasn't she pressed charges against Levi Johnson yet, the kid who committed statutory rape against her older daughter?
Yeah, he wasn't joking about it on the TV machine, though, also, too.
You betcha, and also, too. Okay, guys and gals. All right. The important thing is today is Man Day. It's National Man Day.
Yes! I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Two Indiana men have declared today National Man Day.
Hmm. Is that because yesterday was Gay Pride Day? They're sort of getting equal
time. Apparently.
Is that the,
it's time to man up, America. They did not know that today is already a romantic holiday. Today is also Sneak a Kiss Day.
Who approved that?
I don't know how these things
it's
get approved.
Kind of stupid.
Could get you arrested in some.
The Man Day organizers urged participants to take part in manly things such as football, hunting, watching Rocky movies, anything that James Dodson suggests to make you more manly.
And shower with your little boys to degate them.
They claim that real men don't. Sneak kisses. They just take them. They just, as is their manly right. They steal them.
Yes, they
come
knock
here,
their
woman.
Women over their head with a club and drag them by their hair back to the cave.
Grr.
Woman!
Woman, right. Where's that Mastodon meat?
I'm sorry, honey. Okay, in honor of National Man Day, yes.
Leaves again?
It's time for Beaver Stack. Julie, I'm sorry, I wouldn't, but Julie in Seattle has an overactive Google Beaver alert.
Yes.
And this is from Backpacker Magazine, Jim, and the headline is, See More Beaver.
No.
Yes.
It is not.
It's about how to see more beaver.
Well.
Apparently when you're backpacking around the country. These are some tips on how to
see more beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's just a lot of beaver fun facts here. Humans would need flippers, goggles, earplugs, nose plugs, and a wetsuit to approach a beaver's underwater aptitude. How about that?
Wow.
Hmm. The beaver's mouth. The lips close behind the front teeth, enabling beavers to carry sticks while swimming.
Whoa.
I bet Esther Williams never did that. The coat is thick, water-resistant fur. It insulates in icy ponds.
Mm-hmm.
It's thick beaver.
Thick beaver.
Yeah.
Thick beaver pelt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you should do for if you're looking for beaver. Scope the site in the late afternoon and early evening when beaver, which usually become active at dusk.
Hmm. They do.
Some start
to come out.
Mm-hmm. Some are active in the morning.
It's also helpful to buy them a drink. That I've noticed. That.
And some never come out. As the autumn gets cooler, they often emerge during the last few hours of daylight to stockpile food and winterize the lodge, which I guess is what the kids are calling it. These days. It's almost as
hey,
if...
Hey, baby, don't you think it's time to winterize the lodge?
It's almost as if they feel the pressure of winter is coming on them.
I beg your pardon?
Douglas
pressure of what?
Winter.
Is what?
Is
coming on
what?
Them. Is coming on them, said Douglas Smith, a Yellowstone biologist who has studied beaver for more than a decade.
I bet he has.
Beaver hotspots, Jim, include...
Beaver hotspots?
Voyageurs National Park... In Montana, Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, and the Adirondacks in New York are the beaver hotspots.
Beaver hotspots.
Yeah, we have a vacation coming up, in about a couple of weeks.
Beaver hotspots.
I suggest the Adirondacks there, Jim.
Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Okay.
All right. No.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, just in time for National Man Day. Burger King. Piers Morgan, the beefcake, advertises new Burger King perfume. How about that? The fast food chain is going to sell the $4.99. I don't know if that's a... I think it's a regular price, not a British pounds or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
To make the wearer seem more masculine, it's called Flame.
Okay.
A Burger King spokesman.
Flame makes you more masculine?
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Playing down suggestions of a publicity stunt, a Burger King spokesman says it's a real change from his and hers type sense. He said it's well known that certain foods can increase your libido. Flame has a hint of grilled beef, but that has quite masculine connotations. It says a pheromone or whatever.
Sure.
We have, for some reason, our favorite former congressman from... you know, Illinois, from the Chicago area.
Outside the Schaumburg area?
Yeah. Denny Hester. Oh, God.
Oh, God. I wondered what was happening to me. Lately, I'd find myself time and time again turning around to follow some dude on the street, panting all sweaty and head up with thoughts of big, juicy whoppers in my mind. I couldn't understand it. Was I turning gay finally after all those years sharing townhouses with the guys in D.C.? Was my kielbasa addiction manifesting itself in other ways? I almost went bonkers until I heard that Burger King just came out with a new fragrance for men. Well, that explains it. What a relief. I didn't want to think that I was going to chow down on some dude's servalette in my sleep, as has happened to some of my Republican colleagues. I thought to myself, if they'd only had that out years ago, I would have slathered it all over my wife. Talk about a tasty piece. It dawns on me that there's a huge market for carnivores like me. Why not develop a whole line of perfumes on a meat theme? Old Hebrew National, anyone? How about Summer Sausage Number 5? Or Lairdew Liverwurst? They're supposed to be for men, but heck with that. If my wife wore a different one every night, it'd be like having Riemann Schneider's House of Meat right there in the bed. Hey, honey, wear the old spicy mortadella tonight. But don't forget the mustard. Oh, yeah. Oh, it tastes great. Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Is there a House of Meat?
In Denny Hastert's neighborhood, there has to be. If there isn't, I'm opening one.
We established Riemann Schneider's House of Meat a long time ago.
And finally, you remember how former Miss California, Carrie Prejean?
Yes.
She said that even if she was fired, she doesn't care. The Special Olympics has such a special place in her heart, she was going to go anyway.
Really?
Computer says no.
Yeah,
no,
she canceled that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Former Miss California, USA, Carrie Prejean is steering clear of the Special Olympics. That's all because her replacement's going to be there. And she doesn't want things to be, you know, awkward. Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my country, which is the opposite of this country, where same sexes don't get civil marriages, I was raised that way, gosh darn it. Although I've been stripped of my First Amendment crown, I still think that I'm a winner, and I'm going to hold my breasts high and enlarge on all my opportunities to make them larger. I've been taking lessons from Sarah Palin in public speaking, and she's been an inspiration for many a naked picture everywhere. I'm here to tell you she reads them all as well also, too. So I'm not going to let the icky homos decide for me what I think, if I do, and when I'll do it for myself, you betcha. As soon as I know what I think, I'll get back to you, because it'll be exciting to actually have a thought. I think I'll dress my thoughts up in a one-piece swimsuit, because that's the way to world peace, both here and in schools in the Iraq, where new reading maps will make America more competitive. Just like me. But I know my limits, and that's why I'm not going to the Special Olympics. I know I can beat any of the contestants when it comes to floppy fun sacks. Well, not so floppy, really. Hurricane Katrina couldn't make these puppies move. But first of all, those people give me the willies, almost as much as the homos. Plus, I always feel so inadequate when I'm around them. Not only can they do sports, but I think some of them have higher PTA scores than I do. Sorry, I meant STD scores or something, whatever. So since I'm not Miss California anymore, I'm going to study real hard until I can compete. Then watch out, brainiacs. Carrie's coming, but this time your IQ is going to match your bra size.
Oh, yes. She's so dumb, she studied for a pep test. Okay. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm
here
all
week. She has been studying under Sarah's tutelage. I think she's getting dumber by the minute.
If you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall,
check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website. That would be stephaniemiller.com.
Oh, Lordy. So you know how she's getting them their pro-family type right-wing groups to do petitions and things for her?
Yes.
As it turns out, because she says she's only fired because of her stand on gay marriage.
Right.
Oh, it turns out there's lots of things in writing.
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you how many appearances she turned down. And what exactly they were as we continue. And I can personally confirm one of them. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour.
This song has lyrics that sound dirty, but they're really not.
Thank you, Jim.
Are you okay?
Tell the story about the rabbits again.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
Michael in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hey, Mike.
Hey, you know, I'm so totally confused about the Republicans and their talking points on healthcare, and I thought you might be able to clear something up.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that we want single-payer health care,
yes.
They say that the government can't run it because they're not efficient and they'll screw it up. But then if we say we want the government as a choice and let all the other health care companies also exist, they say, well, that's not fair because they're so efficient
compete.
And they're
yeah.
going to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's deliberately confusing. You're the smartest boy in class this morning.
It's contradictory.
I think the boner explains it best, Jim, and that is that it will mean a police state.
Huh?
That means the police state like we've never seen it, because it'll be higher taxes. It'll be ensuring that you know we can go after your wages.
No.
We had a police state under George Bush where they could open your mail and.
Wow! What a boner! Have I ever mentioned that?
Oh my God.
He's a boner.
What a dope.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
Stalinist hellhole like France or Sweden or Germany or Denmark.
Oh, dear. I can't decide, Jim. Who would you more like to drink the giant cup of STFU? Dick Cheney, Sarah Palin, or Miss California?
It's a tough one.
I'll pick all three.
Well, actually, I wouldn't want Dick Cheney to shut up because it's more and more incriminating.
Yes.
Every time he opens his big yap.
More for the transcripts that will go to the Hague.
Yes. One hopes.
As Carrie Prejean continues to insist for the third time in as many days that she was dethroned due to her answer on gay marriage, new details have emerged supporting the Miss California USA organization that she lost her crown over contractual issues.
Mm.
Here are the fun facts. On Friday afternoon, they issued a statement in which they claim Prejean was offered 53 appearances in writing. But she was available. She was available for one and was either unwilling or unavailable for all the others.
Huh.
The lone appearance she agreed to was for a jewelry show in Las Vegas for which she was paid several thousand dollars.
Huh.
That one she made time for.
Yeah.
The Miss California organization provided a list of several appearances Prejean was presented with and turned down. One of them, I can personally confirm, an appearance on Larry King, which I remember because Larry was pissed because she didn't...
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
He wasn't going to pay me. What's the point?
And besides, he's really old.
He's really old and creepy.
He was really good on Real Time with Bill Maher this weekend.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Love me some Larry. Anyway, but so that one I remember because she canceled on him. And you don't cancel on the Lair.
No.
All right. More on what she was offered and what she turned down, and much more as we continue 28 minutes after the hour. Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan next on the Celebrity Hotline.
Never knew
Stephanie Miller.
It'd be so much fun. All those lights go off and you just feel so good inside.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, sometimes the president has to repeat things for the slower learners among us, like John Boehner, who said that health care reform will mean essentially a police state.
Huh? Secure and quality. Affordable health care for the American people is tied directly to insisting upon fiscal responsibility. And these savings are rooted in the same principle that must guide our broader approach to reform. We will fix what's broken while building upon what works. If you like your plan and your doctor, you can keep them. The only changes that you'll see are lower costs and better health care.
What? It's practically communism.
I thought he said that the government's going to come between me and my doctor. What? Huh?
We create a police state.
Should be at the top of our list. To keep that from
only the, somebody that actually knew what they were talking about. Some important senator of some sort.
Oh,
what?
From the great state of Michigan, it's Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Our personal favorite. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, Seth.
It's always great to be with you. May I first offer my condolences on the Detroit Red Wings?
Oh, please.
So sorry.
I mean, we got to game 7, and we're very, very proud of them, but, oh, we were hoping.
Listen, I was with some Michiganders Friday night, and it was not pretty.
No, well, I don't know. We've had lots of injuries this year, and so we'll get them all healthy and come back next year.
There you go. So tell us about, you have launched a healthcare people's lobby, and I'd like to hear more about that.
Absolutely. Well, in the midst of, all of the lobbyists who have descended upon Washington regarding health care, and, the insurance companies are telling us what they think ought to happen, and the drug companies and all the other special interests, I decided it was very important for me to create a way for the people I represent to be able to say what they think ought to happen on health care and why it's so important for their family. You know, we need to keep in mind that in the end, this is about whether or not you can take your kids to the doctor, about whether or not you're going to lose your health insurance when you lose your job, what about your premiums and co-pays going up. And so I've created on my website the Healthcare People's Lobby, and folks can go and share their stories, what they think should happen. And if they sign up and become a part of it, we'll send them updates on what's happening. I sit on the finance committee where a lot of this will be written, and it's my hope that, this is another way for people to be heard.
And that's at stabenow.senate.gov, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, Senator, you said something recently that I just think is such an important part of this whole debate. You said you've always believed health care is a right, not a privilege, and that every American should have access to quality, affordable care. I mean, that's the thing I've just never understood. The way we base this whole thing is a for-profit industry,
right?
Where we have almost 50 million Americans without any health insurance just seems morally wrong, doesn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, we have an industry. Think of our language. We have a health care industry. As opposed to providing a health care service. And so since the beginning, it has been based very differently than other countries. But the craziness of this is that we spend twice as much as any other country. We have 47 million people with no health insurance, and more than that who get, on and off insurance or are losing insurance or paying more and having a hard time keeping their insurance. So here you have millions and millions, tens of millions of people with no health insurance, but we're paying twice as much as any other country. That's the craziness of all of this, and that's what we're saying has got to stop.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think we played a sound clip earlier of Sean Hannity saying we're going to lose the best health care system in the world. I thought that, we could at least have a starting point of being able to agree that our health care system is broken, but I guess not. I mean, can anybody really say it like you say, when we pay the amount we do and have that many people uninsured, that many people not even be able to get insurance because they have pre-existing conditions, how can we really say that that system's working?
Right. Well, it works if you're very, very wealthy, and maybe those are the folks that he's listening to. But, if you're very wealthy and you can afford to pay whatever it costs and go wherever you can get the best care, then you can get the best care. But if you're in, a city in Michigan or a rural community that is having trouble holding on to their doctors because of the Medicaid rates or Medicare rates, or if you're a primary care doctor that comes out of medical school with debt that equals a mortgage on a house, and you're trying to decide, do you go into primary care or do you become a specialist, and do plastic surgeries or something and be able to pay off that debt faster? I mean, we have a system that's very skewed away from providing basic quality health care for people, and that's what we are trying to change in this country. It really is basically a moral issue as well as
when your house is burning down, you call the fire department and they come. It's That's what I've sort of never understood is, and yet, you know, we can have a person dying in the United States of America that could die because they ask you whether you have insurance first.
Right, absolutely. Well, and all the scare tactics now, you know, there are these folks that represent insurance companies that are on television. They're telling us how horrible the healthcare systems are in other countries because people have to wait for care. I can show you that in the folks that I talk to every day, that people right here, right here in Michigan, right across the country, who can't get the care that they need, who can't not only get basic care to be able to go to the doctor, but dental care. We've had children who have died because they had a cavity that turned into an abscess that went into the brain that has caused deaths of children because they couldn't see a dentist to check their teeth.
In the United States of America, Senator, that's what I can't understand anyone that thinks that's right.
It's not right.
Now, Senator, explain to us, because I'm just a layperson here on this whole. Joe Biden, of course, yesterday said the administration remains committed to a government health insurance option. I don't understand the Republicans' argument on this. Why are they opposed to an option? Just the fact that the word option is in it means you don't have to choose it. Right.
Well, it's an interesting argument because the Republicans really are fighting on behalf of the insurance companies and the drug companies. They don't want there to be a lower cost option, nonprofit option, focused on caring for people and consumers and a public, you know, consumer option because they're afraid people will choose it.
Right.
And they've actually said that. I mean, they don't want to give you that choice.
I thought they always wanted
the choice that you want.
I thought they always wanted competition. The Republicans were always saying that's good for business. Why
competition between for-profit companies is a good thing.
Right.
But a competition that means you may choose something that's a lower cost for you, or competition that brings their costs down. I mean, from my standpoint, what we need is an option that is based on the true cost of health care, that puts consumers first, that is a real benchmark for what the real health care costs are. Now, that's an option for people, and it would force them to compete to the true cost.
Right, right. Well, that's what I just don't, I don't understand. It seems like the Republicans are just standing up for the insurance companies and not for people. That's the whole point, is we're trying to figure out how to get people insured. Almost
right.
50 million of them, as you say.
Well, and this goes back to the question of, are we focused on protecting an industry or on providing health care for people in America? And that's what we need to be doing. And we know that, I mean, we will build on the strengths that we have in the system, as the president has said, but we've got a lot that's broken that needs to be fixed. And not everything's broken. I mean, we have very good things in our system, but it's just not available for everybody. It's not affordable for everybody.
Mm-hmm. What, from your seat, Senator, on the Finance Committee, I mean, how do you see this shaping up? Because, frankly, recently I've been hearing, you know, I know a senior Senate Democrat said votes are lacking in Congress for, you know, the government-run option. How do you see this this debate going down?
Well, we're still right in the middle of it. And, I think that there are some options being talked about that are beginning to get some support, a way of structuring a nonprofit option. You know, we have something called co-ops or cooperatives in this country that where the owners come together, you know, a group of people and provide a service, whether it's electricity or whether, you know, you have credit unions in this country that have nonprofit status that compete with banks that have a different focus. There's different ways to put together something that would be a nonprofit option for people. And it would be much more focused on the true costs and on providing the service, which is what we're looking at different ways to try to get the votes. So the majority of the Democrats support having a true public option. In order to get the votes that we need, we are creatively looking at options that will do that. But in the end, the most important thing is that people have the health care they need and that they can afford it.
Well, Senator, thanks for fighting the good fight for us, and I hope you'll keep us updated on what's happening on the health care fight.
I will. I definitely will. Keep up the fight on your end as well.
Let me close by saying, go Wings.
Hey, okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator. There she goes. Senator Debbie Stabenow, one of our personal favorites.
Yay! Yeah, part of the problem, of course, is that a lot of senators are in the pocket of...
Yeah, take a lot of money from the insurance companies.
Exactly.
And the insurance companies have a lot of money to give.
Exactly.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour, back with more on Miss California and her twin, her political twin, Sarah Palin, and the Letterman fight. You betcha, golly. And the Letterman fight as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour.
Where are the dancing girls with the guitars?
Where's the skinny chicks with the guitars?
Blame it on the producer.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Madison on healthcare. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Hannity's half right. We've got the best health care in the world, if you can afford it. But we've got horrible health insurance.
If you're Sean Hannity, right.
Right. And that's why the system's broken.
Yep, there you go. Good point. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on health care as well. Hey, buddy.
Hey, two things. Number one on the health care.
Yep.
Straw man argument. You don't want to put the government between you and your doctor. I'd rather have the government than some insurance company who makes some money by denying health care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, what a bogus argument.
Yep.
And the second thing is, I didn't hear the whole show, but God.
What?
I'm sorry.
You're fired.
Well, I had to take my doggy to the vet. And
oh, all right.
But the second thing is, Joan Walsh standing up to Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you talked about that, but that was just wonderful.
What were they talking about?
Joan Walsh went on Bill O'Reilly's show and stood up to him and called him a vile hate merchant. And Bill O'Reilly just went nuts and started screaming. And then she goes, am I going to get to talk? And he goes, no!
that's unlike him. That's so unlike him to have some unhinged sort of angry reaction to someone.
Don't call me a misogynist, you bitch!
Nancy in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare as well. Hey, Nance.
Hi. I started out 6 years ago with healthcare for the very first time because I own my own business. I had no pre-existing conditions, and 6 years ago my monthly premium was $267. A year ago I had to have an appendectomy. I am now paying $468 a month for someone who takes no monthly medications, no daily medications.
Yeah, but you had the audacity to need health care. See, that was what you did wrong.
Yeah, I feel like I'm overstepping my boundaries there.
Yeah,
exactly. How dare you get sick?
Yeah, what's
how are we
going
to make a profit if you get sick?
That's not what health care is for. All right.
It's called health care, not sick care.
Mm-hmm.
We only want healthy people.
All right.
How else are we going to get make billions of dollars? Jeez, the nerve of some people.
I can't decide whether Sarah Palin or ex-Miss California is more annoying, but neither will shut their trap in recent days.
Yeah.
By the way, so she's been all over the place, Miss California, saying that that she was only fired because of her thoughts on gay marriage. Which is
completely false.
So they released in writing 50 appearances that she was requested to do. That she was unavailable, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Busy. She can't do that. Prejean said they offered me a Playboy job. I mean, why is my director giving me Playboy jobs? Well, maybe because you have a history of liking to take your clothes off.
Yeah. History of sitting in the wind
there
with a shirt.
I mean, why is my director giving me Playboy jobs? Why? He said it's $140,000. Let me know if you want to do it. The pageant sold Access Hollywood. It was Prejean herself who insisted to see all offers that came in. We passed the information over to her as she and self instructed us in writing to do.
Oh,
yeah, I guess she's not bright enough to know that when she writes things down, those might come out later and prove her to be a big liar.
People tend to keep things that are written down.
But guess
especially what? Especially if it's in a contract.
Could you take your organ out for me, please, Chris? She's getting the church people to help her out. She's claiming that her support for traditional marriage was the reason, of course, she was fired.
That's
she and
false.
Supporters at the National Organization for Marriage has set up a petition page to gather signatures. Oh, what a victim she is.
Were those the people who did those awful commercials?
Yes, where it's raining gays. There's a gay gathering storm.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Among the other things in the letter, it says she's being attacked not for anything she ever did wrong, but for one great thing she did right. And she's not the only one. Thousands of decent, honorable, law-abiding good Americans are facing attacks because they, like Carrie, have the courage to speak truth about...
It's called breach of contract.
You know, God's truth about marriage and...
I think she just broke a commandment there. She was bearing false witness.
Yeah.
In other words, she was lying.
By the way, you might want to keep your organ out for
no,
the
it's
other.
Out. It's been out all morning.
At any rate, we were saying about how some of these fringe right organizations obviously getting more and more just lunatic and violent. I mentioned earlier Reverend Wiley Drake.
Yes.
He's praying for President Obama's death. He was on Ellen Combs' radio show, and he confirmed that several times. Mm-hmm.
And wasn't he Alan Keyes?
Alan Keyes' running mate.
Well, that figures.
Alan Keyes, you might not have noticed, but he ran for president last time. So that was his running mate. He's a second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He also has recently been celebrating the murder of Dr. Tiller. Listen to this one. This is from his radio show. I haven't had the pleasure of listening. Have you, Reverend Wiley Drake show?
I don't miss a minute.
He says this. He said this man, George Tiller, was far greater in his atrocities than Adolf Hitler. I am happy. I am glad that he is dead. I have a strange hunch and a strange feeling. There's a special superheated, super hot place in hell for people like George Tiller. Anyway, that's who that guy is. Alan Keyes, running mate.
He was running to be vice president of the United States, and he's advocating the murder of the president of the United States.
Yes, yes. Well, he's saying that's what God wants, and he's listening to God's...
God.
Because God only talks to this
guy,
crazy ass
nut job.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
It's God. Don't look at me.
I had to go on the TV, I don't know, about 1,000 times this weekend, Chris?
Just 3 times.
And I will be on the Ed Show today on MSNBC.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. Very excited.
MSNBC finally invited you back.
Woof. Ever since the incident. The unpleasantness with Chris Matthews. I'll explain it some other time. Anyway, this Sarah Palin thing, this is so beyond ridiculous. She is the one dragging her 14-year-old through this. Mm-hmm. Nobody in their right mind. That's why no one said anything. Nobody even thought of it until Sarah Palin brought it up, that he wasn't talking about her 14-year-old.
Yeah.
He was talking about the 18-year-old who they made a campaign prop.
Yep.
Charles Krauthammer on this.
Palin is right, but she is losing. You don't get into a fight with a comedian, a clown, and a jester. It does not. It doesn't look good if you're a person who aspires to high office. Letterman is the winner here. Everybody is talking about him exactly in the week or two in which he's getting a rival on NBC. All publicity is good for him, and he's loving this stuff. I think she ought to cease and desist. It's going to keep hurting her.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that's why he's beating The Tonight Show for the first time in years, right? Because Michael Steele called for a ban on The Late Show, so maybe that's why his ratings are going up.
Fatwa.
Wow. Yeah.
And Margaret Carlson has a great article on The Daily Beast about this story. Palin can't outsmart Letterman.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
That's true.
Mark McKinnon, McCain's advisor, said if the right goes after Letterman, they make him look big and themselves look small. Another Republican consultant said, I think it's a mistake too many conservatives are making right now. They're trying to find anything to attack.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Huckabee on this.
People of this country love her even more.
What?
And she endeared herself to so many of us. And I think that this is just a way of causing people to say, you know, this is ridiculous. The attacks that David Letterman made on the Palin family.
What?
Uncalled for, uncouth. And you know what's worse? Don Imus got fired for an unscripted, off-the-cuff remark. This was a scripted remark.
Ooh, scripted.
Palin said during the campaign the press honored Barack Obama's request to keep his family off limits, mocking the president as the candidate that must be obeyed. Well, first of all, his kids are little kids, and they didn't get knocked up and get used as campaign props
right.
in the election. Ugh, 57 minutes after the hour, that's it for me. I'm done.
Are you okay?
Just for today.
Did you need a nap?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.